Hare Krishna. Today's topic will be on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Transcendental Gardener is the topic, right? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Transcendental Gardener. So singing Vaishnava songs is a very important part of our devotional process. Yesterday we chanted the famous song Nitai Pada Kamala, in glorification of Lord Nityananda, and today we'll chant a song in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is called Sri Shachi Sutashtakam. Shachi Devi is of course the mother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shachi Devi. Suta refers to son, so Shachi Suta is the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ashtakam refers to 8 verses. So 8 verses in glorification of the son of Shachi Devi, whose name is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course. And this song has been composed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a great scholar. And prior to meeting Mahaprabhu, he was a Mayavadi, meaning one who didn't believe in the form of God. He believed that the ultimate truth was a formless spiritual light, and that we were all also the absolute truth, and that after liberation we would merge into that oneness. And then he was transformed miraculously upon contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And such a miraculous transformation, he became a very, very staunch and pure devotee of Krishna, and one of the most intimate followers and associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll sing this song, but before that we'll recite the translation. Except for the board, the song? Okay. Now this is referring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His complexion is the hue of fresh cream tinged with kumkum. He is a fresh, ever fresh cupid who shoots arrows of newly blossoming flowers. He bears newer and newer moods of emotional ecstasies. He is fond of performing novel dances. He makes ever new jokes that cause much laughter. His brilliant luster is like freshly cast gold. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Shachi. He is endowed with ever-fresh love of Godhead. His radiant luster is like the color of fresh butter. His fresh attire is arranged in ever-new fashions. He relishes ever-new mellows of love for Krishna. He shines in 9-fold new ways while executing the 9-fold process of devotion. He is permeated with a most auspicious loving nature. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Shachi. He is absorbed in devotion to Sri Hari. He maintains the chanting of the names of Hari. While chanting, he counts the holy names on the fingers of his hands. He is addicted to the name of Hari. He always has tears of love welling in his eyes. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Shachi. He is always removing the suffering of material existence for mankind. He is the goal of life for persons who are dedicated to their supreme interest. He inspires men to become like honeybees, eager for the honey of Krishna Prema. He removes the burning fever of the material world. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Shachi. He motivates pure devotion unto himself. He is most attractive to his beloved servitors. By his dramatic dancing, he exhibits the characteristics of the king of paramours. He causes the minds of beautiful young village women to dance. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Shachi. He plays kartals as his throat emits sweet melodious sounds, and the vibrant notes of the veena are softly played. He thus inspires the devotees to perform dramatic dancing that is infused with aspects of his own devotional service. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Shachi. He is accompanied by the Sankirtan movement, which is a religious practice for the age of Kali. He is a son of Nanda Maharaj, come again. He is the extraordinarily brilliant ornament of the earth. His preaching mood is suitably adapted to the cycle of birth and death. His consciousness is fixed in meditation on his own form of Krishna. He is always accompanied by his transcendental abode. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Shachi. His eyes, the soles of his feet, and his clothing are reddish like the color that heralds the rising sun. As he utters his own names, his voice falters. He awakens a sweet flavor to life throughout the universe. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Shachi. Who would like to play the kartals? Someone who can play properly in tune, in time, play? Kartal is a good kartal player. Otherwise someone will have to hold the book up for me. So instead of that, someone plays the kartal. Okay. Actually, all right, this is good. I think so. Thank you. That is fine.
Navagauravaram, navapushpasharam, navabhavadharam, navalasyaparam.
Navagauravaram, navapushpasharam, navabhavadharam.
Karam nava hemavaram pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
nava hasya karam nava hemavaram pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
nava premayutam nava nita shucham Navaveshakritam Navapremarasam
Navapremayutam Navanitasucham Navaveshakritam Navapremarasam
Navabhavilasat Shubhakremamayam Pranamami Shachi Suta Gauravaram
Hari
Bhakti Param Hari Nama Dharam
Hari Bhakti Param Hari Nama Dharam
Kara Japya Karam Hari Nama Param
Kara Japya Karam Hari
Nayane satatam pranaya shudharam
Okay,
just see. Pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
Pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
Hari Bhakti Param Hari Nama Dharam
Hari Bhakti Param Hari Nama Dharam
Kara Japya Karam Hari Nama Param
Hari param haridham param
nayane satatam pranaya shrudharam pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
nayane satatam pranaya shrudharam pranamami
Satatam janata bhavata paharam paramartha parayana lokagatim
Satatam janata bhavata paharam paramartha parayana lokagatim
Navalenakaram jagat papaharam pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
navalehakaram jagatapaharam pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
nijabhaktikaram priyacharutaram natanatana nagara rajakulam
nijabhaktikaram priyacharutaram natanatana nagara rajakulam
kulakamini manasalasyakaram pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
kulakamini manasalasyakaram pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
karatalavanam kalakantharavam mriduvadya suvinikaya madhuram
karatalavalam kalakantharavam mriduvadya suvinikaya madhuram
nijabhakti gunavrita natyakaram pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
nijabhakti gunavrita natyakaram pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
yoga dharma yutam punarnanda sutam dharani suchitram bhava bhavochitam
yoga dharma yutam punarnanda sutam dharani suchitram bhava bhavochitam
tanu dhyana chitam nijavasa yutam pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
tanu dhyana chitam nijavasa yutam pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
arunam nayanam charanam vasanam vadane skhalitam svakanamataram
arunam nayanam charanam vasanam vadane skhalitam svakanamataram
kurute surasam jagatah jivanam pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
kurute surasam jagata jivanam pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
pranamami shachi suta gauravaram pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
pranamami shachi suta gauravaram pranamami shachi suta gauravaram
shri shachi sutashtakam ki jai shri gauranga mahaprabhu ki jai gaur premanande Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदात्मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Do you have the CC there with you?
Yes, Maharaj.
CC, you have Chaitanya Charitamrita on the Veda base?
Yes.
Can we... Chapter 9. I want the one with Chapter 9. Chapter 9.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. So today's topic is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the transcendental gardener. How many of you know gardening? One, that's all? Two, three, four, five. Actually, gardening is a very important skill to learn. For devotees. Why? Why?
So we can learn about spiritual progress.
So we can learn about spiritual progress, yes, but something practical, more practical. Can you imagine devotional service without flowers? Can you imagine? Flowers are so important in Krishna consciousness. We offer flower garlands to the Lord. We offer flower during worship, puja. And we decorate the altar and the temple with flowers. So, flowers are very, very important for us. So we have to grow our own flowers. That's the best. Do we buy? I think we have to buy.
Central and
Oxford streets. I don't think you can grow in Soho Square or something from here. Or where possible at the manor, I think they grow their own flowers. Some of it. At the top, there's something. Only some types of flowers. Summertime, yes, of course, yes. You know, it's one of the injunctions of the scriptures. and Nectar of Devotion also states it, that whenever we come to the temple, we should bring something for the Lord, maybe a flower, maybe a leaf of tulsi. Of course, you can't get much tulsi here in London. But the best is to grow something at home, and even if you're staying in an apartment and not an independent house, you can have a flower pot. Nowadays there's a whole big movement for all sorts of rooftop gardening and home gardening and vertical gardening. Have you heard of vertical gardens? They grow plants on walls, vertically. So you have plants coming out like that on the wall. So you improvise for urbanization so that people can have gardens in their own homes. So anyway, if it's possible for you to do that, to have your few flower pots at home, and if you have some garden facility, then all the better. If you have a rooftop, even better. And when you come to the temple, bring some flowers with you, even if it's one flower. Just bring an offer to the Lord. So Krishna consciousness is all about gardening for many reasons. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has compared the whole process of devotional service to that of a creeper which grows in the heart. In the 19th chapter of the Madhya Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches Sri Rupa Goswami devotional service. And as part of his teachings, he gives the famous devotional creeper teachings as well. And I'm sure many of you have heard the famous verse, Brahmanda Brahmite Kuno Bhagyavan Ji, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Who can explain this verse? How many of you have heard this verse before? Okay. So this means that by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, some very, very fortunate soul who, having wandered through the universe in many, many planets and many different species of life, has finally received the seed of the creeper of devotional service. It's called the Bhakti Lata Bij. Bij means seed. Lata means creeper. Bhakti means devotional service. So Bhakti Lata Bij indicates the seed of the creeper of devotional service. So that's implanted or planted in the heart of an aspiring devotee by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru, one gets devotional service by which one can eventually obtain Krishna. So the gardening process is very important for us to understand, and if you do some gardening, it will help you to understand this process as well. Now, what are the factors that are necessary to have a successful plant or a good plant? Let's say you're a gardener. What are the different factors necessary? Number one, what are the requirements? You need a seed. Is that all? No, I mean the seed, any seed, in any condition. What kind of seed do you need? First of all, you need the right kind of seed. If you want to grow marigolds, you need marigold seeds. Not cactus seeds, right? So if you want to grow jasmine, you need jasmine seed. So you need the right kind of seed, first of all. And then, you need the seed in the right condition. What do I mean by that? Okay, you gardener, speak up. What do I mean? Sorry?
Dry seeds, not wet.
Not wet? Well, it's okay if it's wet. Anyway, it's going to get wet in the soil, right?
Unbroken seeds.
Unbroken seeds, alright. Alive. How is the seed alive? Which hasn't fructified. actually that which is boiled, roasted, etc. becomes infertile. It doesn't produce a plant after that. So if your seeds are boiled and roasted, then they don't produce plants, right? I remember a little story about one king who didn't have a successor and was looking for one. He didn't have any offspring, so he was thinking, I should nominate somebody from my kingdom, one of my subjects, to be the next king. So he sent out an advertisement, and all the potential candidates came, all the wannabes, the wannabe kings. They all came, the hopefuls, and they all arrived, and he said, okay, I'm going to give you a test, and whoever passes this test will become the next king after me, and I'll groom him as a prince. And here's what you have to do. I'm giving you a seed each, and you have to come back with to me after 1 month. And whoever brings the largest, best plant will be the king, the next king after me. So they were all given one seed each, and they went back. And after 1 month, they all came, returned to the court of the king. And somebody had a flower pot with a small plant, another had a flower pot with a big plant, another one had a plant which was luxuriantly growing. And so there were plants of all kinds. And the king keenly examined each of them. And then he finally came to one man who didn't have anything. So he asked him, what happened? Didn't you grow any plant? He said, yes, Your Highness, I tried. I planted it in the soil. I did everything that I should have been doing. The soil was good. I watered it regularly. I made sure it got air and everything. But somehow it just didn't grow. So I'm just telling you that this is the result. So the king said, all right, now I will announce the results of the contest. I have keenly examined the plants that every one of you have brought to me. And here is my decision. My decision is that this man who didn't bring any plant is the winner, and he shall be the next king. And everyone was aghast, thinking, how on earth did that happen? And the king said, because above all, I want an honest man to be the king. All of you are cheats, because I gave you a seed that was boiled and roasted. So it could never have produced a plant. So you exchanged this seed for another seed. So you tried to cheat. But this man was honest. Therefore, I will make him the next king. Anyway, that was just an incidental story that came to my mind. Because, you know, what's life without a few stories? If you have too much philosophy, then everyone feels, oh, such a burden. We've been hard day's work and been got a little firing from the boss and everything, and then now again here. So anyway, the seed has to be fertile. It has to be potent. It has to be just right. You can't have any type of seed. So you need the seed of devotional service, the Bhakti Lata Beej. You don't need any other kind of beej. There are many other kinds of beej. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls them Anyabhilasha Beej. Abhilasha means desires. Anya means others. So, seeds of other desires. We have many other gurus in this world, not for spiritual life, but for various other things. So we learn so many things from them, including the wrong things, mostly the wrong things. So even those who teach the world sense gratification are also gurus for the world, but they're teaching them the wrong things. They are planting different seeds that will eventually fructify to form sinful tendencies, desire for sense gratification. So these are not the kind of seeds we're looking for. We're looking for the seed of devotional service and nothing else. So this is a very important thing. The first thing we need is the seed. Srila Prabhupada explains that seed is where everything begins. For any activity, you need some plan, some thought, and that's the seed of that activity. Let's say you want to make a big business. So you need a seed, a thought, a plan. Okay, I want to do this, I want to do business and this, this and this. Or even if you decide, I want to come to the temple today, there's a seed of a thought, and that goes into a plan. Okay, I have to reach at such and such a time, so I'll take such and such a train and I'll reach at this time. So similarly, there is a seed that's required for the devotional service process. So by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, that seed is required and it's given. Okay, what else do we need apart from the seed?
Fertile soil.
Fertile soil, that's right. Not any kind of soil. You may have the best seed, but if the soil is arid, it's not fertile, if you place a seed on a rock, it's not going to produce any plant. So the soil in which the seed is planted must be very fertile. What else do we need? Water. So we need sufficient water to be given so that the seed will now fructify. What else does the what else do you have to do?
Sunlight.
You need sunlight, the plant needs nourishment. And of course you may not find it here, but if you're a farmer and you've sown, let's say, wheat, and you also have a lot of cattle, and what do you have to do?
Protection.
You have to protect your crops from the grazing cattle. What will you do?
Fence
it. You fence it so that the grazing cattle don't come and eat up your crops, especially when they're in a tender stage. So similarly for our Krishna consciousness, we require all these things. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets the seed of devotional service. It comes after a long time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Many, many lifetimes of acquiring unknown credits of devotional service. Then one gets this seed. But you see, many people receive the seed. For example, when Srila Prabhupada went to America and he spoke about Krishna consciousness and he chanted, etc., there were many people who attended his programs. Not everybody became devotees. So he was distributing the seed, so to speak, but the soil was not fertile everywhere. So the heart represents the soil. What kind of garden do we have? What kind of soil in the heart? If someone's heart is not receptive, then that person will not be able to accept that seed, or even if he accepts, it will be futile. But you see, the point is you never know whose heart is fertile and whose is not. There are extraordinary instances of people whom you least expected to become devotees, and people on whom you have lots of hopes that they will become devotees and they don't become devotees. It happens. So also this devotional service, the seed is sown, and those who are receptive in their heart, they accepted it. And then what's the hearing and what's the watering process? The hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna in the association of devotees is the watering process for the seed. So if you don't hear and chant about Krishna, then what happens? The seed will not fructify. It will not grow into a plant. And even if it grows into a plant, the growth will be stunted. So hearing and chanting is especially important. And this hearing and chanting has to be done in the association of devotees. So what is the protection for this devotional creeper as it starts growing? A fence. What is the fence? The association of devotees, that's right. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that a person who wants to be a pure devotee, a person who wants his or her devotional creeper to grow unrestricted, luxuriantly, without restriction, must protect that devotional creeper by the fence of the association of pure devotees. So if you don't come to the association of devotees, that devotional creeper will not grow, sufficiently at least. And if you're all alone, then you will lose the enthusiasm to water the plant. Then as the plant loses water, it dries up. What is the meaning of the plant of devotional service drying up? What happens? What happens to you when you don't water? If you don't hear and chant about Krishna sufficiently, what happens to your devotional life?
You lose the taste.
You lose the inspiration. You lose the enthusiasm for coming for devotional service. And the next time somebody tells you, come to the temple, and you say, oh no, I have something else to do. So gradually we lose our inspiration. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport says that even a pure devotee of the Lord, who is very, very advanced in devotional service, should be very careful to take the regular association of devotees and hear and chant in their midst. Even if an advanced devotee stops hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, he will fall down. So what to speak of new devotees? And then Prabhupada cautions us, because there might have been some complaints. He said, even if one thinks that there are no pure devotees in the society, meaning is gone. One should still never leave the society. One should always remain within the society of pure devotees, even if one thinks like that. So that's a very important point for us. One time, Srila Prabhupada, who was asked by one temple president, Srila Prabhupada, there is this devotee in our temple and he's quite proud. And he doesn't want to listen to anybody's class. And he says, nobody is qualified to give class and I don't feel inspired to listen to their classes. So then Prabhupada got a little annoyed. And he said, then tell him and he should give class. But he should not go out to listen here and there from people who are not qualified. And of course, once he started giving class, then people would have their comments to make about his class. So in any case, one should come and hear. I always cite the example, and even this time in my trip in England, I've been talking about this on occasion. Jananivas Prabhu, the head pujari of our Mayapur temple, he regularly hears classes of all the devotees, whoever they are, even if they're new devotees, someone who's giving his first class in his life, the first lecture in his life in Krishna consciousness. He's nervous, he doesn't know whether it's going to come out right. And furthermore, it's a Bengali lecture which he doesn't understand. But still he sits in the class because he thinks it's transcendental sound vibration. Even though he's a young devotee and he's speaking in the Bengali language, but it's transcendental. So it has an effect on my soul. So he would sit in the class and hear. And after the class was over, then he would go away off. So this is so important for us as devotees, hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. And there's something else that a gardener encounters when looking after the plants. What happens when the plant starts growing out of the soil? What else grows? Weeds grow. So first of all, you have to have knowledge of which the real plant is and which the weed is, isn't it? Suppose you want to grow jasmine and your jasmine plant grows and alongside there are many other weeds that grow and you can't distinguish the jasmine plant from the weeds. And you think, let me pull out the weeds, and you pull out the jasmine plant and leave the weed. Then what's going to happen? You won't get the desired result. So similarly, when the devotional creeper grows, in the soil of the heart, there are many other seeds that have been planted by other materialistic gurus in the past. Anya bhilasha bijas. Seeds of other desires. So when the water of hearing and chanting about Krishna
is poured onto the soil of the heart, then these seeds also get nourished and their plants also start growing. So you have other material desires coming in the heart and you say, what's happening? I'm chanting Hare Krishna and material desires are coming up to the surface. They shouldn't be coming up. All the material desires should get destroyed. But what's happening? As you hear and chant, these other seeds are also giving rise to the plants and they're growing. And then you're not able to distinguish sometimes because we are new. We are not acquainted with the process of transcendental gardening. So we can't distinguish the weeds from the main devotional creeper. And sometimes we may think, this one is the main creeper. Whereas actually it isn't. So what are these other weeds that grow? For example, the desire for some material benefits. Oh, when I chant Hare Krishna, everything seems to be happening. I've got my promotion in the office, I've got my increment, and I've done well in my business, or I've done this and that. So maybe devotional service is a good way to have some material progress. So I said, yes, that's the goal of it, that's it. So the fact that I'm making material advancement means that I'm doing well in devotional service. Or one might think, now I'm getting a lot of respect as a devotee. Everyone's calling me Prabhu now. Prabhu means master. Nobody at work calls me that. My wife doesn't call me that for sure. And what about the others? They just talk to me in ways that are not so respectful. And here I am, I come to this temple and all of a sudden I've become a Prabhu. And every Prabhu means master, so quite good actually. And what's more, sometimes they even offer obeisances to me. They bend down. Now that's something extraordinary. So we might think actually, in the heart of our hearts we might start thinking, actually that's a good thing. So as we go into devotional service, yes, that's a sign of my advancement, that more people are respecting me now. So this is the crux of devotional service, getting more respect from others. So what's happening? Now I'm confusing that weed to be the devotional creeper. So there are many other weeds like that. And of course, these Anya Vilasha Bijas have to be uprooted. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur goes on to elaborate in great detail about these different types of weeds. All types of forbidden activities for devotees should be strictly avoided. Especially we should strictly follow the four regulative principles. Meat eating, gambling, intoxication and illicit sex, right? At one time at an initiation ceremony, one devotee was asked, so what are the four regulative principles? He said, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meat eating. Are these the four regulative principles? And what are they? No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. So, just a little no there that distinguishes the two. Just two letters, two alphabets. But it makes such a difference. So that's also part of the de-weeding process. And then Mahaprabhu says, I'm describing it in brief. Those of you who want to relish this description and Srila Prabhupada's purports also, I would urge you to read chapter 19 of the Madhya Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then, as the hearing and chanting goes on and the uprooting of the weeds goes on, the devotional creeper grows and grows and grows. And because it's transcendental, it's not constrained by anything material in this world. So Mahaprabhu tells Rupa Goswami that this devotional creeper penetrates the coverings of the material universe. It enters into the Brahma Jyoti, the transcendental effulgence in the spiritual world. It passes by the Vaikuntha planets. It reaches the transcendental abode of Krishna, which is called Goloka Vrindavan. It comes and rests at the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, and there it produces its fruit. And that fruit is called Krishna Prem. And sitting here in London, the devotee tastes that delicious fruit, far more tastier than any fruit we have tasted in this world. And you don't have to go there physically to taste it. Sitting here in London, you can taste it. That's the nature of transcendental geography. So the taste is here. Now, Mahaprabhu Krishna has taken that fruit. And he says, yes, I want to distribute that to everyone in the world. So he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the devotional creeper grows into that plant that reaches Golokas. That's the goal of our life, to be able to taste that fruit. But we are not miserly, so we also want to share this fruit with others, right? We don't want to just be selfish and only eat it for ourselves. So this fruit has so many seeds, so you can also take the seeds and plant. You can cut it into pieces and distribute it. And herein lies a secret behind the appearance of Krishna as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in the 9th chapter of the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, explains, or in the earlier part, 4th chapter, I beg your pardon, that Krishna appears in this material world once in a day of Brahma. It's a very long period. And one day of Brahma consists of how many years? Very long. This Kali Yuga is 432,000 years long. The age before this is Dwapar Yuga, which is twice that. The age before that is Treta Yuga, which is three times that. The age before that is Sapta Yuga, which is four times Kali Yuga. So altogether these four ages are 10 times Kali Yuga, 4.32 million years. Multiply that by 1,000. And you have 12 hours of Brahma. Multiply that by 2, you have 24 hours of Brahma. Multiply that by 360. Is someone actually doing that? Multiply that by 360, you have 1 year of Brahma. Multiply that by 100, and you have the lifetime of Brahma, which is a lifetime of the universe. So anyway, one day of Brahma is extremely long. So Krishna of Vrindavan comes only once in this day of Brahma, in the 28th cycle of the four ages. And we are in that 28th cycle. He comes actually at the end of the 27th cycle. And we are in the 28th. Or rather, in the 28th cycle, but in the Dwapar Yuga that precedes. In that particular Dwapar Yuga of the 28th. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna come as a transcendental gardener, comes in the Kali Yuga that follows the Dwapar Yuga in which Krishna appears. So we are so enormously fortunate. Both Krishna as well as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have come only in the very recent past. Mahaprabhu has come 500 years ago and Krishna has come only 5,000 years ago. We may think that's a long period, but in the history of creation, that's a flash. It's like a moment. So just imagine our extraordinary fortune. He comes. And why does he come? Kaviraj Goswami says that after Krishna appears at the end of Dwapar Yuga, he goes back to his abode, Goloka Vrindavan, and starts thinking. Actually, I went to the earth and I performed many nice pastimes, but I didn't distribute that love of Vrindavan sufficiently. I just tasted that love myself with my devotees, but I didn't distribute it profusely to everybody. And I have seen that in the universe, mostly there is love of me in my Vaikuntha feature, in my form in the Vaikuntha planets. And devotees who love my forms of Vaikuntha, their love is imbued with a sense of awe and reverence. And that awe and reverence makes that devotion weak. It's not as sweet. But the love of Vrindavan that I am tasting here is especially powerful. So I want to go down to earth and give to the people of the world this love of Vrindavan, which was never before given by any of my other forms. Even when I personally descended in Vrindavan, I didn't distribute this to one and all. In fact, I put down so many conditions to Arjuna. I told him, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mame Kam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Bhyo Moksha Ishami Ma Shuchaha. O Arjuna, abandon all varieties of religion. Simply surrender unto me. I will protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So I place this very stiff condition that everyone should surrender completely. But in Kali Yuga, who can surrender? Not possible. Therefore, I have to go down and make it very, very easy for the people of this age. So having come down, what does he do? Let's see how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes this. Can we... Okay, can we have text 6 of the 9th chapter of the Adi Leela? Malakarah Swayam Krishna.
Malakarah Swayam Krishna.
Prema Marataru Swayam.
Prema Marataru Swayam.
Data Bhokta Tat Phalanam.
Data Bhokta Tat Phalanam.
Yastam Chaitanyam Ashraye.
Yastam Chaitanyam Ashraye.
I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who himself is the tree of transcendental love of Krishna, its gardener, and also the bestower and enjoyer of its fruits. So the word malakar indicates a gardener. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come as the transcendental gardener. And what's his business? What plant does he grow and what fruit does he distribute and enjoy himself? The love of Krishna, love for himself. So that's his business, that's his occupation. So Krishna in Vrindavan is a cowherd boy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip and Puri is a gardener, horticulturist. So he gets this devotional creeper, grows it and has many, many fruits. And then what does he do? He distributes the fruits. He also enjoys them himself. He also tastes them himself. Because he has come in the guise of a devotee. So he is the bestower as well as the enjoyer of the fruits. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of this book, speaking. And then Kaviraj Goswami tells us how the Lord thinks. The next one, please. 7. Prabhu kohe ami vishwambhara nama dhari.
Prabhu kohe ami vishwambhara nama dhari.
Nama sarthaka hoi yadi preme vishwa bhari.
Nama sarthaka hoi yadi preme vishwa bhari.
Lord Chaitanya thought, my name is Vishwambhara, one who maintains the entire universe. Its meaning will be actualized if I can fill the whole universe with love of Godhead. Next verse. Ato chinti loila prabhu malakara dharma.
Ato chinti loila prabhu malakara dharma.
Navadvipe arambhila phalodhyana karma.
Navadvipe arambhila phalodhyana karma.
Thinking in this way, he accepted the duty of a planter and began to grow a garden in Navadvip. So what dharma did he take up? Malakara dharma. So he took up the occupation of a gardener and went to Navadvip. Next one. Sri Chaitanya Malakara Prithivete Ani.
Sri Chaitanya Malakara Prithivete Ani.
Bhakti Kalpa Taru Ropila Sinchi Ichhapani.
Bhakti Kalpa Taru Ropila Sinchi Ichhapani.
Thus the Lord brought the desire tree of devotional service to this earth and became its gardener. He sowed the seed and sprinkled upon it the water of His will. The purport of Srila Prabhupada. In many places devotional service has been compared to a creeper. One has to sow the seed of the devotional creeper, Bhakti Lata, within his heart. As he regularly hears in chants, the seed will fructify and gradually grow into a mature plant and then produce the fruit of devotional service, namely love of Godhead, which the gardener, Malakar, can then enjoy without impediments. Jaya Shri Madhava Puri Krishna Prema Pura.
Jaya Shri Madhava Puri Krishna Prema Pura.
Bhakti Kalpa Taru Teho Prathama Ankura.
Bhakti Kalpa Taru Teho Prathama Ankura.
All glories to Shri Madhavendra Puri, the storehouse of all devotional service unto Krishna. He is a desire tree of devotional service, and it is in Him that the seed of devotional service first fructified. Who is Madhavendra Puri? The grand spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The next verse. Sri Ishvara Puri Rupe Ankura Pushta Haila.
Sri Ishvara Puri Rupe Ankura Pushta Haila.
Apane Chaitanya Malis Kandha Upajila.
Apane Chaitanya Malis Kandha Upajila.
The seed of devotional service next fructified in the form of Sri Ishvara Puri, and then the gardener himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became the main trunk of the tree of devotional service. And finally, the 12th one. Nija Chintya Shakti Mali Hanaskanda Haye.
Nija Chintya Shakti Mali Hanaskanda Haye.
Shakala Shakara Shai Skandha Mula Shraye.
Shakala Shakara Shai Skandha Mula Shraye.
By His inconceivable powers, the Lord became the gardener, the trunk and the branches simultaneously. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, to be that transcendental gardener. And His business is to plunder the treasure house, the storehouse of the love of Godhead. And Kaviraj Goswami describes elsewhere that He begs His associates and His devotees. He says, I have a huge garden here and so many fruits of Krishna Prem, and I'm enjoying them and you're enjoying them, but we want to distribute them to everyone. And how much can one person distribute? So you please become my agents, my distribution agents. So what is Mahaprabhu telling us? You also take up this business of being a distributor of these fruits. But the condition is that you also have to taste these fruits. And then you distribute them. In other words, that we have to accept the process of devotional service and share it with everybody. This is Mahaprabhu's mood and mission. This is what the Gaudiya Sampradaya is all about. Tasting and spreading and distributing that pristine, sublime love of Vrindavan, which Mahaprabhu came here to distribute. When Mahaprabhu was moving everywhere in South India after taking sannyas, he was constantly singing and dancing. And through the process of the Harinam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna, he spread love of Godhead everywhere. Because he was intoxicated with love of Godhead, whoever saw him automatically also got infected, so to speak. So this Krishna Prema was a very infectious or a contagious disease that was spreading rapidly everywhere, and there was no containing it. There was no antidote available, no vaccine available to stop that. And wherever Krishna, where Mahaprabhu went, and people saw him singing and dancing, then they all became pure devotees just by looking at him. And Kaviraj Goswami describes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, not only that, when these people who became his pure devotees, by seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they went back to their village, those people in that village also became pure devotees by seeing that devotee. Have we seen how a person gets electrocuted sometimes? I hope you haven't. But if you've seen someone getting an electric shock, what should you do? Should you hold his hand and pull it? You shouldn't be doing that. Anyone is an engineer here? How would you? If you see there's someone who's touched an electrical wire. Yes, you hit them with a wooden stick and move them off, or just give them a plank of wood, they can stand on it because the wood is an insulator. So if you go to touch them, then what happens? You get the electric current as well. And so, you know, sometimes when it's flooded and there's heavy rains and there's a short circuit somewhere, and it happened in some places, I remember, where people got electrocuted because some wire fell down somewhere, there was a short circuit, and the current went through the water and electrocuted everybody who was in contact with the water. That's how it spreads. Yes? So the Krishna conscious current is like that. You touch here, devotee. Touch, devotee. Yes? Hare Krishna, touch. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Now this is not an exaggeration, because even though he may not or she may not exhibit those symptoms right away, but his or her material future is doomed, because that spiritual life has begun. By that one Hare Krishna, that one little piece of prasadam, it started. And then gradually as time goes on, it may take many lives, doesn't matter. Or it may take place in this very life itself. So then that's how it happened when Mahaprabhu went everywhere. People just saw people who had seen people who had seen people who saw Mahaprabhu. And then that's how thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people became intoxicated with Krishna Prema. So, yes. So as Mahaprabhu was going down, he was spreading this Krishna consciousness movement like wildfire everywhere. And then he came back to Jagannath Puri. So he continued his mission. His first success story was, of course, when he got initiated by Ishwar Puri. This was way before he took sannyas. He used to live in Navadvip, and then he went to Gaya to perform ostensibly the Shraddha ceremony for his departed forefathers, especially his father. And he met Ishwar Puri there, and he was initiated. And something very drastic and miraculous happened after that initiation. Prior to that event, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was known as Nimai Pandit, was exhibiting pastimes of a scholar, of grammar and logic. He used to engage in debates with everybody and defeat them, and he was quite arrogant because he was so brilliant, no scholar could stand in front of him and debate. And he would stand sometimes in the front of people and say, is there anyone who dares to come in front of me and debate? But even though he was so arrogant, he was also quite charming. It wasn't like the usual egotistic bragging of boastful people. There was something very charming about it. And even when Mahaprabhu Nimai defeated people in debate, he was so, as you use your, to use modern language in London, he was so mind-blowing that the people who were defeated by him were just spellbound. They just couldn't imagine how somebody could be so brilliant. He would make a proposition and tell the person in front of him, refute that. And he couldn't. Then Mahaprabhu refuted his own proposition. And then he says, okay, now refute that. And he couldn't, he tried. Then Mahaprabhu refuted that and established his original proposition. And he would go on and on and on till the person in front was dizzy. And at the end of it, he was very nice to them. He didn't rub salt into their wounds. He was so nice to them, and he made sure that he wouldn't destroy their egos. So he was very respectful, and ultimately he sent them home, and they would go home very happy to be defeated by Nimai Pandit. Even the great scholar Keshav Kashmiri, same thing happened to him. He was utterly defeated in debate. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had that role up till that time. And whenever he challenged the devotees amongst the scholars of Navadvip, and there weren't that many devotees there at that time, the devotees would try to avoid him, because devotees don't like unnecessary wrangling and debating, because it's fruitless. There's no point. It's a waste of time. So devotees like Mukunda, Gadadhar would just avoid him and go the other way. And Nimai Pandit would say, just watch. One day I'll become such a great Vaishnava that you all will become my associates. And indeed, it did become like that. And that change happened at the initiation ceremony in Gaya. Now don't expect that it will happen to every one of us when we take initiation. Many times devotees feel that once they're initiated, then right after the fire sacrifice is over, there's something that's going to happen, and electric shock's going to go through them, and they're suddenly going to develop symptoms of ecstasy, and then they will fall unconscious or something. No. Initiation is the beginning. That's what the word initiate means. It's the beginning of the process of taking Krishna consciousness very seriously. So when Mahaprabhu, when Nimai got initiated, he was chanting the holy names of Krishna, and he immediately wanted to go to Vrindavan. And the demigods got alarmed. They said, what's going on here? There's a change of script. He's not going according to the script. I mean, the Lord is supposed to descend to this world to deliver all the people here. And here he wants to go to Vrindavan and then relish the chanting there in the isolation of Vrindavan. Who's going to deliver everybody? So then a voice from the sky spoke out, my dear Lord, you are the Supreme Lord. Oh really? Okay. Yes, you are the Lord. You have descended here with a mission. The mission is to deliver the fallen souls of this Kali Yuga by the congregational process of chanting your names. Your time to go to Vrindavan will come later. So he said, alright, alright. So he got permission from his guru to go back to Navadvip. And as he entered Navadvip, everyone was struck with wonder to see the change that had come into Nimai. They couldn't believe their eyes. And the word spread. And you know, the whole internet was jammed, because everyone was busy when they had Twitter and Facebook and email sending messages out, you know. OMG, have you seen Nimai? OMG, Nimai has become a devotee. There are a couple of exclamation marks and so on. And then everybody was talking among themselves, whatever happened? Because the devotees had always been hoping and praying that this brilliant young lad should become a devotee one day, then he can transform the whole world. And then some of them were praying, yes, if he becomes a devotee, he'll smash the heads of the atheists. And some were saying, yes, if he becomes a devotee, such and such can happen, and so on. And now, he had become a devotee. So they all came there to see him, And gone was the arrogant, boastful, argumentative Nimai of old. Here was a humble, soft-spoken Nimai. And every time he met any devotee, he would embrace him and ask him in a very piteous fashion, "Please tell me, where is Krishna? Where is my beloved Krishna?" And the devotees were wondering, what on earth has happened here? And then they would go back. And Vrindavan Das Thakur describes one episode when the devotees were at the house of Srivas Thakur and they had this transcendental jasmine tree and they were plucking flowers to offer to the deity. And they started talking among themselves, "Have you heard?" "Yes, of course I've heard. And today Nimai has called everyone to the house of Shuklambar Brahmachari. So let's all go there and see what's happened." So they hurriedly went there. Gadadhar Pandit hid himself in the house somewhere. And as the devotees entered, Nimai looked at them. And again the same, "Please tell me, where is my beloved Krishna? Where is Krishna? Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna. Oh Krishna, where are you? Where have you gone?" So the devotees, and then he swooned in devotional ecstasy. He started exhibiting symptoms of devotional ecstasy. The devotees were beside themselves with joy. They just couldn't believe it. And now began a golden era in Navadvipa. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated this golden age that will last for 10,000 years and which will transform this Kali Yuga into more than Satya Yuga. It's a golden age for 10,000 years where by the simple process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, people will also develop ecstatic love of Godhead in the mood of Vrindavan. So Sachi Mata was a little confused when she saw her son like that. He was always in his own world. Suddenly sometimes he would roar in ecstasy and his young wife would run away in fear, wondering what was going on. And as the time went by, his devotional symptoms started deepening, becoming stronger and stronger. And then one day he declared, "My dear friends," because he was a teacher of grammar. You see, the system of education in those days was that there was an elderly guru who would teach the older students. The older students would teach younger students. The younger students would teach even the ones who were even younger than them. And this was how it happened. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had his own school and where he would teach grammar and logic. And after his return from Gaya, he started speaking only about Krishna. Someone asked him some technical question on grammar, on verbal roots and so on and so forth, and he would give all sorts of explanations centering only around Krishna. And the students couldn't just understand what on earth was going on here. So they would go back sometimes confused. And days went by without talking anything about grammar, which was a topic that he was supposed to teach. But he was only speaking about Krishna. And the students every now and then in their confusion, they would try to bring the topic back to grammar and ask him about some sutra from grammar. And then he would suddenly talk about Krishna as being the essence of that sutra. And the root, the verbal root of that is actually Krishna. Krishna is the beginning, the middle and end of everything, including this root. And then finally the students went to Gangadas Pandit, who was the teacher of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gangadas Pandit smiled and said, "Don't worry, I'll teach to him, I'll talk to him." So then the next morning, Nimai Pandit went as usual to Gangadas Pandit and offered his obeisances. And Gangadas said, "My dear Nimai, you are such a brilliant boy. You were teaching so nicely earlier about the sutras, the maxims of grammar. But now you are not teaching anything, you are only talking about Krishna, Krishna all the time. Of course we must be devotees of Krishna. That's what the scriptures say. But if the students, these Brahmana boys, don't learn basic alphabets and language and grammar, how will they become good devotees of Krishna? How will they learn to read the scriptures? So you must teach them proper language and syntax and grammar and so on. Your parents are also great devotees of Krishna. So then Nimai Pandit was once again very enthused to teach grammar. And said, yes, by your mercy, I will teach grammar and I'll also defeat all these logicians who don't know anything about grammar and never do. So then Gangadas smiled with happiness. And Nimai continued talking about Krishna in his grammar lessons. Because he couldn't help it. And then the students started started enjoying it. And his following started growing. And then he started his Sankirtan movement in the house of Srivas Thakur. Initially it was restricted to only a few of his intimate associates. It went on especially all night long. The doors were closed. And the neighbors would sometimes criticize and complain. These people, they simply waste their time, they spoil our sleep. Maybe they are so hungry that they are crying out because of pangs of hunger. And they tried all sorts of things, but Mahaprabhu and his associates would never stop chanting. Many dangers happened, many calamities were averted by the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Anyway, the time went on. Mahaprabhu's, as he would go along chanting, he inaugurated the street chanting of the holy names. He would go out with devotees, and there were many devotees who played the mridanga, many who played the kartals, and then he would sing, and sometimes others would sing and lead. And they would go out into the streets chanting the holy names. There are several songs written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about this. Have you all heard the Arunodaya Kirtan? Udilo Aruna Purava Bhage, Vijamani Gora Mani Bhage. I didn't sing that today because that's supposed to be sung in the morning. And then right after that is the Jiva Jago prayer. That's also supposed to be sung early in the morning, not at this time. So in any case, Mahaprabhu would go out like that, singing and dancing. Earlier, you know, we would go out from the temple to chant early in the morning. That was a custom. But of course, here, where are people early in the morning? They're just about going to sleep. And so anyway, we would go out every day at 6:30 in the morning or 6 in the morning in the streets in different cities. It's a beautiful time. Even till today, in villages in India, you will find this going on. Depending on which part of the country it is in, it's called by different names. But that's what people do. They all gather together early in the morning, and then they go out into the streets of the village. They cover the whole village chanting the holy names. Such a wonderful culture. It's a culture that's getting lost now, but we need to revive that. So here in the midst of London, all of you go out regularly to chant Harinam every day, right? Yes? So, the Radha Landanishwar temple is famous for the Harinams that happen here. I met so many people who come to London and they remember the Harinams. So, yeah, we see your people chanting in the streets. So he inaugurated that. And eventually he started delivering everybody. And many people in Navadvip started becoming devotees. One time, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, they were going past a pub. Yeah, there were pubs then also. Bars. And there were some drunkards sitting inside. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go in to preach to them, to deliver them. And then Srivas Thakur said, my dear Lord, please don't go there. People see you going inside, everything will be spoiled. Although I know that you are powerful, you can deliver all of them, but still, what will people say? What will people think? So Srivas Thakur fell at his feet, but Mahaprabhu was so eager. He really wanted to go. But Srivas Thakur said, no, please stay on. Then Mahaprabhu looked at those who were sitting inside cast his merciful glance upon them. And those drunkards who were busy drinking and were quite intoxicated looked at him. Hey, there is Nimai. He's quite a nice fellow. Because they were all drunk, right? He's quite a nice fellow. Actually, he sings quite nicely. Can you show me how he sings? Yeah, he sings. And they started singing, started chanting. And soon the whole pub was full of everybody chanting and dancing and singing the Hare Krishna mantra. And Shiva's Thakur was amazed. He said, my dear Lord, your mercy is amazing. And then they all came out into the streets and they saw Nimai Pandit and they were all chanting and dancing. So this is how Mahaprabhu was working as the gardener, giving the seeds to everybody and making everybody ecstatic devotees of Krishna. And then one time, when he was sitting with some of his students, some of his friends who were brahmanas also came. In his ecstatic trance, Mahaprabhu was chanting, Gopi, 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 Gopi. He was thinking of the gopis of Vrindavan. And this young, this one young brahmana was there. And he got annoyed. He said, Nimai, why are you chanting Gopi, Gopi, Gopi? Which scripture asks us to chant Gopi, Gopi, Gopi? The scriptures ask us to chant the holy names of Krishna. It's a very pious act. Anyone who chants the names of Krishna will achieve unlimited benefit. So instead of chanting Gopi, 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 chant Krishna. Of course, this young Brahmana boy was completely unacquainted with the ways of devotional service. And he was thoroughly unaware of the position of Nimai Pandit and his exalted status of devotion. He could not understand the mood that Nimai Pandit was in at that time. He was in the mood of a gopi or Srimati Radharani. And then, still in that mood of a gopi, he said, Krishna, he responded to that brahmana, we will never take the name of that plunderer again. Just see, he's so ungrateful. He killed Vali, he incarnated as Ram, and just see what he did. He's so ungrateful. He killed his own uncle, Kamsa. And then he left us all and went away to Mathura and Dwarka. So we'll never trust this man again. We'll never chant the name of this Krishna. And you are asking us to chant the name of that Krishna? So in his trance of ecstasy, he lifted his stick and menacingly approached him in haste. And this Brahmana boy fled for his life. Do you know how tall Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was? You're overdoing it. 9 feet now. He was almost 7 feet tall. Today they would have got him for a basketball team or something. Couldn't get. But he was quite tall. And then, you know, when someone like that approaches you menacingly with a stick in hand, you know, discretion is the better part of valor. You use your discretion and flee in haste. So this young lad, he flew as if he had wings, and he went to his own friends and said, do you know what's happening? This Nimai, I just got saved today. I barely escaped by the skin of my teeth. What happened? What happened? Why are you so terrified like this? He said, you know, I was just advising Nimai because he was chanting Gopi, Gopi, and all I did was to tell him to chant the names of Krishna. And he started chasing me with this big stick in his hand, about to beat me to death. And it's only because of the intervention of destiny that I was saved. And then all the other Brahmana boys started an uproar of protest. He said, what does this Nimai think he is? Does he think that our parents are not Brahmanas? Is my father any less than Jagannath Mishra? Or is my mother any less than Shachi Mata? The next time that he does something like this, we are not going to sit quiet. We are going to retaliate. So this kind of talk started. The next day, when Nimai Pandit was with his students and the devotees, he started speaking in cryptic language. He started saying that this Pippali Khanda, which is a kind of pepper-based herb, is causing the opposite effect. This Pippali Khanda is supposed to remove mucus, but it seems to have increased the mucus. Therefore, something drastically wrong has happened. And the close associates like Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, they were terrified when they heard this, because they understood the confidential purport of what Nimai was saying. What was that purport? The purport was that Nimai Pandit was about to take sannyas. He was about to take to the renounced order of life. Why? Because he was thinking, I have come here as a transcendental planter and gardener, the farmer, to sow so many seeds everywhere and to give ecstatic love to everybody. But if these people are on the contrary going to be offensive to me, then how will they ever become pure devotees? So I should become a sannyasi. And then they will offer respect to me as a sannyasi. And then they will be delivered. They will think of me as a sannyasi, but because I am the Supreme Lord, they will get the benefit of serving the Supreme Lord. And then he firmly resolved within his mind to take to the renounced order of life. And that is a story in itself. And in the month of January, around the time of the Makar Sankranti festival, around the time that Bhishma Deva also departed from this world, that was the time when Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So maybe around that time somebody can narrate the pastime of Mahaprabhu's taking of sannyas. So then Mahaprabhu went on, and as a sannyasi, he continued his transcendental gardening activity. Everywhere his first target was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who had written that song. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was as staunch a Mayavadi as they come. And Mahaprabhu converted him to be a pure-hearted, staunch devotee. So much so that even Mahaprabhu was surprised. One day when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in the early morning hours, right after taking the Mangal Arati Darshan of Lord Jagannath at the temple, he knocked the door and Sarvabhauma was asleep. And he woke up hearing the sound of the knocking. And as he rose from his bed, he was chanting, "Krishna, Krishna." And Mahaprabhu smiled with pleasure. Here was this man who denied the personality of Krishna just a few weeks ago, a few months ago. And now, the first thing in the morning when he rose, he was chanting Krishna's names. And then Mahaprabhu offered him some Mahaprasadam. And without a word, without any further action, Sarvabhauma took a piece of that Mahaprasadam and placed it in his mouth. And Mahaprabhu said, "Sarvabhauma, you're a cultured Brahmin. You're eating food without taking a bath. That's the custom, that's the etiquette. You're not supposed to eat anything unless you take a bath." Nowadays, of course, it's very common for people to do such things. Because anyway, sometimes they don't even take bath the whole day. Or they won't fast, so naturally they eat. But the idea is that we should take a bath every day. And the first thing in the morning when we wake up. And we should wake up in the morning, not in the afternoon. So once we wake up, the first thing we do is freshen up, and then we chant the holy name for some time, and then we honor prasadam. But here Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya simply took a few grains of the Mahaprasadam, and Mahaprabhu said, "Whatever happened to you, Sarvabhauma?" And Sarvabhauma says, he quoted some verses from the Shastra which said that when we receive the Mahaprasadam of Lord Jagannath, there is no consideration of time, place and circumstance. It is an offense to not honor the Mahaprasadam the moment you receive it. So whether one is in a clean condition or an unclean condition, one has to honor that Mahaprasadam. And Mahaprabhu was overjoyed to see the staunch faith of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Mahaprasadam. Mahaprasade Govinde, Nama Brahmani Vaishnave, Svalpa Punyavatam Rajan, Vishwasu Naiva Jayate. Can anyone explain the meaning of this verse, word for word? You'll get some special Mahaprasadam if you do that. Anyone? Try. Okay.
So if somebody doesn't have past credits, then he can't appreciate the power of Mahaprasad, the Guru name, and the Brahmas.
Okay, we'll get you Mahaprasad. Svalpa punya. If somebody has done very little pious activity, has no devotional credits to his or her name, so in the heart of such a person, faith will not arise in the following. And what are those? Mahaprasad. Mahaprasade Govinde. In Govinda, in Mahaprasadam, in Govinda, then Nama Brahmani. Nama, it is not Brahmani, it is Brahmani. Sometimes people think this is Brahmana, as a Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya. But it's Nama Brahmani. Brahma means spiritual. So Nama Brahmani indicates the transcendental name of the Lord. Yes, so Nama Brahmani is one phrase. And fourth, Vaishnava. So those who have no pious devotional credits to their account will not be able to develop faith in their heart towards Mahaprasadam, towards Krishna's holy name, and towards the Vaishnavas. In other words, the purport is that we should have faith in these four things. So when Mahaprabhu saw the faith that Sarvabhauma had in Mahaprasadam and in Krishna, he was overjoyed. He said, "Your life is now successful. I am fortunate to have the association of such a devotee like you, Sarvabhauma." So then he delivered so many devotees. He delivered the drunkards, he did like Jagai and Madhai, we saw that yesterday. He delivered many of these caste Brahmins, ritualistic Brahmins, he delivered people all over. But there were some people who still left, the Mayavadis of Varanasi. And Mahaprabhu even went there to Varanasi on the way back from Vrindavan. And he delivered the 60,000 sannyasis there who were headed by Prakashananda Saraswati and made them all devotees. So it was a flood of Krishna consciousness as Mahaprabhu went on planting, sowing the seeds everywhere, and he also watered everywhere he went. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So here was Krishna who was also acting as the Guru directly from outside. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu this way spread Krishna consciousness all over. Sometimes devotees ask the question, he didn't really spread it all over, did he? He didn't come to London, he didn't go to America, he didn't go to Tokyo. Or maybe there were some parts of India that he didn't go to. Why? What's the answer? Anyone? He left it for Srila Prabhupada. And he left it for us. So that's our JD, our job description. We have to follow and become gardeners also. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made everybody devotees, we'd have no job to do. So therefore Mahaprabhu has left us some service, very mercifully. So it's just a little bit, you just had to deliver the whole of London, that's all. Is that very difficult?
No.
No. Not when you do the chanting of the Harinam on the streets like this. Not when you do prasadam distribution like this. Not when you have a wonderful temple like this and deities like this. It's not difficult. You may think Radha Landanishwar temple is very small, but it's not so small. It's got a big heart. And even though physically it may be very small, but so many people are being influenced by this temple. And gradually as the years go by, more and more will become infected by the disease you are spreading. And nobody can stop this. So all of us have to become gardeners, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we must all learn physical gardening as well as transcendental gardening. And take this Bhakti Lata beach that we have received and spread it everywhere. Distribute the seed and also water it in the hearts of different people. So go and tell people about Krishna. And Krishna and Mahaprabhu's gardening formula was Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upadesh, Amar agyai guru hoy tar e desh. Whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. And in this way become a guru and deliver the whole land. So this is Mahaprabhu's transcendental gardening mission. So I think we'll stop over here. Any questions? Any comments? Yes.
You were saying that we have to listen to the past, even though it is given by not such experienced devotees. Mm-hmm. But I thought, wouldn't it be better and more sure, wouldn't we get more benefit if we hear from a pure devotee rather than...
Okay, your question is that in the class it was mentioned that we should be willing to hear even from new devotees. So wouldn't it be better if we hear from pure devotees? Of course.
Wouldn't we get more benefit?
Certainly, you get more benefit. The instruction is to hear from pure devotees.
Oh.
That's the first choice. So you should, but first of all, how to judge who's pure devotee, who's not? Am I going to judge, well, the Monday speaker is the pure devotee, the Tuesday one maybe getting there, but Wednesday one, let me see, maybe needs another month or so, and the Thursday one speaker probably won't make the grade, right? We risk getting judgmental, isn't it? So, yes, it's true that we must hear from pure devotees. However, we have the temple facility here. And whoever are the speakers nominated by the temple authorities to speak, we hear them. And there may be at different levels of spiritual advancement, no problem. But because they are sincere followers of the path of Krishna consciousness, they are repeating Srila Prabhupada's words. Therefore, their words will have a good effect on our hearts. And of course, ultimately, we must also read Srila Prabhupada's books. We must hear his lectures. He is our Acharya, founder Acharya. He is the pure devotee we all have to follow as a movement. So definitely we must hear the lectures of Prabhupada and read his books. And other great devotees? Yes, certainly. There are so many elevated devotees within our movement. We should hear from them as well. Okay? Yes.
So, what would be better? To choose to listen to Srila Prabhupada lectures only and stay like the point and do your own best? Or go to temple?
Okay, so what's better? To sit at home and listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures or to come to the temple and hear the lectures? And what is your answer? Both. Why should it be either or? It should be both. So when you come to the temple, you hear the lectures given by the devotees here in the temple. And then when you're at home, or when you're traveling, hear it electronically. Hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures and also read Srila Prabhupada's books. So coming physically to the association of devotees is very important for our devotional progress. And that's what I meant, that was the whole mood of Jananivas Prabhu, that physically sitting in the association of devotees is very powerful. So it is very faith-inducing. So we should sit and hear. That is the idea. The example of Jananivas Prabhu I gave only to illustrate the principle of how important it is to hear from devotees and how the transcendental sound vibration transcends even language. But of course, if you have a choice to hear from somebody who is speaking in a language you understand, of course, it's better. Okay? Any other language? Yes. So your question is that why is it that having come to this transcendental garden, there are some people who do not get affected by it positively. They ignore it or they pay no attention to it. Now that's exactly what I said about the soil, the fertile soil in the heart. The seed is there for everyone to receive. But if the soil isn't good, it's not going to be beneficial. So similarly, if somebody's soil is, the heart is not ready yet, then he or she will not be receptive. So even if they're with a pure devotee, they may not realize their good fortune and take benefit of that association. But the devotees are so merciful, they go to soften the soil of even that devotee. So they'll go and make the preparation for the soil. You know, those of you who are gardeners, you know that what do you do when the soil is not fertile? Is there some remedy available?
Yes.
What? Put some fertilizers. Yes, some phosphorus, some calcium, some nitrogen, some fertilizers. But don't put chemical fertilizers, okay? Natural fertilizers. You put fertilizers. So what our devotees are doing by going out in the streets chanting is they're fertilizing the soil. Yes, all the hearts there, they're softening the hearts because everybody's hearing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And one day they will become devotees. Even though they may not know, it may take lifetimes for some people. Kripa Moya Prabhu was narrating one incident where when he was chanting down the street here in Oxford Street one day, one gentleman came to him and said, "That was a really good melody you were chanting. But you know, the lyrics are a shame. For 30 years you people are chanting the same lyrics." The lyrics are of course the same, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But anyway, which means for 30 years he's been hearing. So one day, if not in this life, the next life, the soil will be ready. So some soils need more fertilizers. They need to be fertilized. I know of one group of people who went to desert, practically desert land. And just by putting cow dung and everything, and they worked in the soil for years. And today it's lush green. It took them years of hard work. So similarly, for different types of people, different soils in the heart, so it requires different types of pious credits. They're all at different levels of spiritual evolution. But at least they came to the manor, at least they came that far. They knew it's the Hare Krishna temple. So they've got that benefit. And one day they will all be ready. sooner or later. Yes.
I just want to add what he commented on, because I wanted to see the 4 o'clock Aarti in the temple, Mangala Aarti in Orford, and I don't drive. So it was my dream to go and attend the Aarti. And my husband had to go to Wales for some office work, and he just offered, would you like to go and attend the Aarti? And I took the offer, and so he just dropped me, and then he went. So, but he still got some good wishes or karma, because he fulfilled my desire to come to the temple. So he did get something, and he's not there where I am, but maybe one day I still pray that he will be joining us soon.
Is he hearing you now?
<He's not there. laughs> So I just give him the credit that he brought me.
Yes.
So still,
okay, so your point is, for the sake of for those who can't hear, that even if somebody drives another person to the temple for the Mangal Aarti and so on, the person himself may not actually attend, but because they perform that service of bringing somebody to the temple, they get benefit. Yes, that's a fact. It's called Agyata Sukriti. Unknowingly acquired or performed devotional credit. So your husband's devotional life has begun. Because he's done a little seva, a little service. He has brought you to Mangala Aarti. Even though he didn't attend the Mangala Aarti himself, but because he did this service of enabling you to attend Mangala Aarti, so his devotional service has begun. One day he will become devotee. Yes.
Just to continue, there are some people that are willing to hear about Krishna, yeah? Although they don't know anything. Which is the others, they get irritated and judgmental. Should you still continue talking to those people, or should you stop?
Okay, the question is that there are some people who are very favorable when you talk about Krishna consciousness, and there are some who are not. They get very angry or irritable when you talk about Krishna consciousness to them. So should we continue to talk to them, or should we stop? Well, it depends. If they're, you have to judge. If they're somewhat still willing to listen to you, and they're not going to be very offensive, then yes, we can talk to them. But if you sense that they are becoming very offensive to Krishna, to the devotees, and so on, then better to stop and just give some prasadam. And in different ways try to encourage that person to do some agyata sukriti, or some unknowingly performed devotional service. One devotee mentioned how he became a devotee. He was walking down the street, and you've heard of the legendary Jayananda Prabhu, yes? Jayananda Prabhu was the originator, the original Rath Yatra cart maker. A very hard worker for Krishna and Prabhupada. Prabhupada loved him, and today in every Rath Yatra we have his picture up on the Rath. So he was busy, you know, assembling the cart. And the cart was on the street, near the street, and there was one man who was walking by. And he said, hey brother, can you come here and help me? Just can you hold this for me? He said, yeah, sure. So he held the thing. When he was doing this, can you also hold this? Yes. And then gradually, can you do this for me? Can you just bang this nail there? Yes, he did. And before he knew it, he was there for hours and hours, and he was doing that. Oh, by the way, would you like, you must be hungry. Let's take some, you know, prasadam, come. And he had the meals. And then they were going out in Harinam, and we have a Rath Yatra festival. He became a devotee. And he joined the temple. Yes, he just did a little service. So the devotees are also very intelligent. They engaged others in service like that. Can you just do this for me? Can you just hold it for a while? Can you do this? Can you do that? Unknowingly perform service. So therefore, if unknowingly perform service is so powerful, just imagine how powerful is knowingly performed service, and imagine how powerful is service that is performed with full love and faith. Yes? Yeah.
I wanted to ask,
you mentioned that we should be tasting the fruit and then we should be giving the fruit also. So is this both these processes there happening one after the other, or they have to have? So basically, what should be the qualities of a gardener?
Okay. Your question is that we should be tasting the fruit as well as distributing the fruit of Krishna Prem, but should we be first taste the fruit and then distribute? Or should we distribute and then taste? Well, it both goes on simultaneously. Because distributing is part of the tasting process. Distributing is part of the process of acquiring the eligibility to taste. So the more you preach, the more you distribute, Krishna is pleased upon you. Okay, you're acting as my gardener, my assistant gardener. Come on, I'll give you something to taste as well. So when you're out there in the streets chanting, or you're distributing the books, or you're speaking to people about Krishna, you experience some bliss. That's Krishna giving you the taste of that fruit, a little bit. And that induces you to grow more of it, and you want to do more and more, so they happen simultaneously. Yes. If someone is a non-vegetarian, can we still engage that person in devotional service in the temple? Yes, certainly, but not service that is connected to the deities directly. You wouldn't, for example, make them come and sit and make garlands for the deities, or help in cutting vegetables in the kitchen for the deity, if they're non-vegetarians. But you could do things like help, like making the card, things like that. Or, why don't you help us clean the garden? Why don't you help us paint the building? Can you just acquire this from the market for us? Can you do this? Can you do that? There's many, many other services that we can engage people in. And this was Srila Prabhupada's genius. He knew how to engage everybody. So we have to also be intelligent to see and identify the numerous ways in which we can engage people. There's no shortage, no limit. Not even for cooking for devotees, that's right. All right, so, yes, one last question.
Maharaji said, there's so many weeds growing into your heart.
Yes.
How would you advise somebody from those weeds of such a very difficult task, especially when you don't even know when they're growing?
Okay, so your question is, how does one pull out the weeds in the heart? By first of all learning to identify them. We learn to distinguish the devotional creeper from the weeds. Like I gave some examples of the desire for respect coming up, and then we think, well, that's what devotional service is all about. I should be getting more respect. If I chant a little better, if I speak a little better, I'll get more respect. That's what devotional service is all about. And, oh, no, that's not it. So with our spiritual intelligence, we make our mind understand, no, that's not it. That's not devotional service. That's not what I've come here for. I've come here to become a pure devotee of Krishna, not to get some respect, or not to get some extra, some delicacies or something. So with our spiritual intelligence, we use the sense of discrimination, and said, no, that's not it. Okay, this activity, no, that's forbidden for me as a devotee. I'm not supposed to go into that restaurant. And, I'm not supposed to go into that pub. Or the TV program, I'm not supposed to see that. That's not good for me. Prabhupada said that's not to be done for us. Oh, this item is very delicious. Everybody else in my office is eating it, but I'm not supposed to eat it. Oh, that party, my colleagues seem to be having a good time there. I feel like going, oh, but no, I shouldn't be going there. It's not good for me. Like that. So by the use of our spiritual intelligence and discrimination, we identify that these are forbidden activities, these are forbidden tendencies, and we have to guard against them. Okay? So All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for your very patient hearing. It's been a very patient audience yesterday and today. Patiently sitting for almost over 2.25 hours, I think, and without a murmur of protest. And I hardly saw anybody sleeping. So anyway, thank you very much. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Radha Landanishwar ki jai. So please do become transcendental gardeners.